Thank you for being with us through the new faith book. I would ask you to turn in the Bible to Matthew chapter 8. And those of you in the auditorium, I'll ask you to stand as we read God's holy word. Matthew chapter 8, and in verse 1 it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Let's pray. Blessed Lord, Heavenly Father, again we just thank you this day to be in your house. And Lord, we ask that you would bless your holy word this morning. And Lord, we continue to pray for our dear sister Lalai. And we pray that you would heal her, my God, that you put a hedge of protection around her, Lord. Be with the doctors and give them wisdom and understanding to help our dear daughter. But we come to the great physician of all, our great God. Heal our sister and also be with Sister Daisy also, Lord, and be with the Fuentes family, with Albert and Angie, and protect them also, Lord, this day. And so, Lord, we thank you so much. Speak to our hearts. May your word go forth in power and in truth, and may thy spirit accompany your word. And so, God, be with us this morning. For we ask all this in your most blessed and holy name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we continue to the Gospel of Matthew, we will open now chapter 8, which we have entitled in the outline that we passed at the beginning of our studies, and point number 6, the power of the king. And so now we concluded the Sermon of the Mount, which took me about 34 sermons. Now we are going to look at what our Lord Jesus Christ did after he preached the greatest sermon ever heard under the power of the king in chapter 8. We divided it into 4 specific. In verses 4 to 1, which we'll see this morning, is power over disease. Verses 5 to 13, power over disorder. Verses 14 to 27, power of distress. And then 28 to 34, power over demon. So this morning, we'll be looking at Christ's power over disease, or if you wish, the cleansing of the leper. Now, as we consider our Lord Jesus Christ cleansing the leper this morning, as a way of introduction, let me just say, you got to understand that, you know, in Matthew chapter 8, it is full of miracles. As a matter of fact, Matthew 8 and 9 are full of miracles and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in chapter 8, at least, I think there's no less than 5 miracles that are mentioned. And I think it was very fitting by Matthew, as he wrote the gospel, to follow what I call the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, that it might be followed with irrefutable proofs, mighty proofs, that the preacher truly was the Son of God. Amen. Those who have heard the Sermon on the Mount, we saw last week, they were astonished, and they would even confess, "None spake like this man." Christ set forth his seal in credentializing everything he had been preaching and teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and vindicated his right to speak in the language of authority. Again, remember those words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Our Lord was mighty in deed, and our Lord was even mighty in word." And so his kingdom not only comes with truth and light, but it comes with omnipotent power. The Lord Jesus Christ wrought many miracles that men would see with their eyes the power of God, that the power of God was upon him. Not only did Christ speak with power and authority, but he also healed with power and authority. And no doubt that even in this 21st century, our Lord continues to work in great power, but by opening the hearts of those that are spiritually dead, those that are lost, opening the eyes of those that are spiritually blind, opening the ears of those that are spiritually deaf, because he works powerfully in quickening dead sinners. And this is why Paul would say with such truth and with such conviction regarding the gospel of Christ that it is power, because he says, Romans 1:16, Paul writes and says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so in our opening verses here in Matthew 8, we read how our Lord healed this leper. Now, I want to give you a vivid description of this fearful, dreadful disease known as leprosy, which our Lord powerfully healed. Leprosy is basically a disease that we really know little of or nothing in our day. But in biblical times, it was a disease that was utterly incurable. And therefore, it was deadly. Now, leprosy was, it wasn't just some smear, skin disease or infection, as some would suppose. No. It was a radical disease of the whole man. It not only attacked the skin, the blood, the nerves, whereas it would get to the point that some of the flesh would start falling off. I mean, it was no light thing to be infected with leprosy. Not only this, but among the Jews, a leper was reckoned as unclean and therefore was totally cut off. I mean, totally cut off from the congregation of Israel in its ordinance and religion. In other words, they couldn't even go to the synagogue. They couldn't even go to the house of God. And so the leper was required to dwell by themselves alone in a separate place. Nobody could touch them. Nobody could minister to them. The leper was not just quarantined, you say, 10 or 14 days like we have to do with COVID, with the COVID virus. I mean, last year, my wife and I, we contacted COVID. And I wasn't in church for about 2 weeks, the 14 days. And so, but leprosy was not a quarantine just for a few days. Leprosy was a quarantine for life. Living miserably alone. And when you see that, it was such a hopeless and helpless case. Unbelievable when you think about the ethic of leprosy. And when you think about it, can you imagine not only the physical anguish, but the mental, spiritual anguish that laid upon a person that came infected with leprosy. And again, no one could heal them. Their families, their friends, their religion, and so forth. And therefore, it was such a very sad situation for a person to be a leper because it was incurable. Unless God would intervene, there was no hope. Now this morning, there's six things I want to share with you from the power of the disease of the cleansing of the leper. Number one, we'll look at the picture of this leper. Number two, the problem of this leper. Number three, the pattern of this leper. Number four, the prostration of this leper. Number five, the petition of the leper. And we'll conclude with number six, the power of the Lord. Now, the first thing we want to see this morning is the picture of the leprosy is a type or a picture of sin. You see, man that is born into this world is full of sin. And just like leprosy, this man was full of leprosy. If you were to read Luke's account of this story, I'll read you what it says there in Luke, how he describes the leper. It says in Luke 5:12, it says, "And it came to pass when Christ was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy," not just a leper, but full of leprosy, "who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And so man like leprosy is full of sin. And so may God give us understanding to see the wretchedness of the leper, but also of our own hearts in the sense of a sinful person. You know, to use the words of Aaron, Moses' brother, I don't know if you remember the story there in Numbers 12 where both Moses and Aaron came against, Miriam and Aaron came against Moses. And the Lord punished Miriam, the sister. She was struck with leprosy. Where it says there in Numbers 12:12, it says that Miriam was one as dead of whom the flesh is half consumed. But if you read the story, Moses interceded for her sister and the Lord healed Miriam of leprosy. But it just shows the utter unbelievable aspect of leprosy. So sin, like leprosy, is a foul soul disease which is ingrained into our very nature and cleaves to our bones and marrow. And it is a deadly force because it is a deadly plague. Worse than any virus in this world. Sin is a deadly plague. Okay? The Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. King Solomon would write in 1 Kings 8:38, he said, "Know every man the plague of his own heart," which, again, like leprosy, sin is deep-rooted in the heart. But there is a difference in the sense. Sin is worse than leprosy. I mean, it is deep-seated, affecting every part of the heart and soul. But the difference between leprosy and sin is that leprosy has no eternal consequences. Sin has eternal consequences. Sin affects the heart. Sin affects the will. Sin affects the conscience. Sin affects the whole person, the understanding, the mind, the lust with its affection, and I can go on, and I can give you verses for all of these. And sin sits where? Right in the core of every person, in the depths of the heart. It lies in the depths of the heart. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. And I want you to see what God says about our hearts. Jeremiah 17. And look what it says in verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and a little bit wicked." If your Bible has that, you better get rid of it. "And desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I mean, what a profound question by Jeremiah. Who can know it? As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever looked up the word desperately, because it defines the heart, desperately wicked. If you were to go to Micah 1:9, I'll read it to you. In Micah 1:9, it says, "And her wound is incurable." The word incurable in Micah 1:9 is the same Hebrew word as in Jeremiah 17:9 for the word desperately. In other words, the heart is incurable. Psychology cannot cure your heart. Religion cannot cure your heart. Man cannot cure your heart. Only God can cure your heart. You know, in verse 1, I don't want to chase too many rabbits, but in verse 1, it says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pin of iron, with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of the heart and upon the horns of your altars." Wow. In other words, it shows how sin is embedded, deep-rooted in the heart. With a pin of iron, the point of a diamond. Wow. I mean, there's no way that we can cure it except by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every man is born into this world with that awful, sinful propensity. And this is why he describes it as being deceitful, desperately wicked, or, again, incurable. So, again, sin is not only deceitful, but incurable. And sin like leprosy, as we said, it is incurable. Leprosy is incurable. So, I hope you started to see the picture between sin and leprosy. Now, leprosy, like sin, makes us loathsome, abominable, and unfit for the company of God. Therefore, sin makes us unfit for heaven. Sin, like leprosy, as we said, is incurable by any earthly physician. But sin is slowly dragging sinners into the pit of hell. Listen to what Isaiah says about hell. Isaiah 5:14 says, "Therefore, hell had enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Wow. Sin drags sinners into hell without measure. So you see that sin is far worse than leprosy. And the thing is, sin, again, is something which no mortal man is exempt from. For we are all born into this world in sin. That's why that song that was played before, it touches my heart, because I know what God did for me 40 years ago. When I was lost in my drugs and my drunkenness and the lifestyle that I led was so wicked. But one day he came to me and he touched me and he changed me. Nobody had to convince me that I was a sinner. Nobody had to convince me that my heart was wicked. I knew it was, because I knew what I was doing. Okay? So far worse than leprosy is sin, a disease that no mortal man is exempt. And so the Bible teaches us and says forth that we're all born into this world in sin. Therefore, we all come short of entering heaven, except God intervenes. That's the difference. Turn with me now to Colossians in the New Testament. Almost right in the middle of the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, look at what Paul says as he writes to the city, to the brethren in Colossae, at verse 12. Colossians 1, verse 12. He says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," God did, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." In other words, Paul gives thanks to God the Father. He says that it is God who has made all those whom he has saved. He has made them meet for heaven. Now, interesting that in the Greek, the phrase "had made" and "meet" are the same Greek word, hikano. Okay? And that word hikano in the Greek means to enable, to qualify, to make sufficient. In other words, my point is, it is God alone who makes us fit for heaven. Not religion, not anything we do, not good works. No, 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 no. We can't get to heaven on our own. No, God is the one that makes us fit for heaven, by cleansing us from our sins, washing us from our sins by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he tells us there in verse 13, as God himself delivered us, God delivered us from the power of darkness. Then he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this is done how? By the blood of Christ, who cleanses us from all sin in that great work of redemption. You know, even if you were to go read in Ephesians chapter 1, we read that what? That we are made acceptable how? To God. How? In Christ. by the precious blood of Christ and the forgiveness of sins.
Wow.
And so again, the Bible teaches and sets forth that we're born into this world in sin. And therefore, we all come short of entering heaven, except God intervenes. And like the leper, we are in ourselves without hope if we're outside Christ. Because again, there's no hope in religion. There's no hope in any good works. There's only hope in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I hope you're starting to see that leprosy is a picture or type of sin. Okay? And therefore, when we ask, do you see yourself a sinner? Do you understand what this means? I mean, have you ever discovered your own corruption before God in your own heart? I mean, do we really understand what we mean when we say we're sinners before God? Or again, I've heard many people that say, well, Pastor Joe, I mean, I've done a few bad things and I said a few lies and all this, but my, you know, worthy of hell, well, not me. My neighbor, let me tell you what I mean. They always point to somebody that's worse than them. I'm always amazed by that. But let me use this example and see what you think, you know. If we were to see a leper come into this church this morning, if a leper would come in through those doors, and when you would see him, you wouldn't say, oh, look, there's a leper. Oh, he's just got a little leprosy on him. He's got some essence of leprosy. He's not that bad. You know, he's okay. Huh? What would you say? You wouldn't say those things, would you? I mean, you would say, no, he is a full-fleshed leper. And don't deceive yourself to say something foolish and self-righteous, saying, oh, come on, Joe, that leper, he's not that bad. Because I can assure you, if that leper came and sat next to you, you would get up. Because he would be loathsome before your eyes. It would sting in your nostrils, gruesome, unclean to you. But this is how, without Christ, this is how we stand before God in our sins. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand, to see the condition of a sinner's heart before God. I mean, for any person who trusts in their good works and good deeds, let me tell you what, again, Isaiah said. He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are what? As filthy rags. Even Isaiah in chapter 1 makes it very clear. I loved it because he said, from the head to the crown of our feet. We're full of sin. He said, from the sole of the foot of man unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wound, bruises, putrefying sword. They have been clothed, neither bound up. Speaking about sin. Job tells us in Job 15:16, he says, how much abominable is filthy man who drinks iniquity like water? Well, that's what I drink water like. You know, that sin is just like it comes so easy. Okay? In Job 25, he says, how can a man be justified before God? Or how can a man be cleansed that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in the sight. How much less man that is a worm? There's so many verses that describe the heart of man before God. But I think this should suffice, my dear ones. God, in the Word, exposes our sins and our standing before Him in order that we would run to Him like this leper did. That we will run to God, run to Christ. Lord, save me. Save me from my sins. We would run to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that leprosy is likened or pictured sin. And again, this leper was full of sin. And therefore, man is also full of sin. But now, secondly, the problem of this leper. The problem of this leper was that if he was left to himself, he would have died in that condition. And this is also the problem with men. Men left to themselves without God will die in their sins. You see, even the Lord Jesus Christ exposed the fact that men love their sins. That's amazing when you think about it. But when I go back, I realize how much I used to love my own sins when I was lost. You know that in John 3, Christ makes it very clear. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world. Christ came into the world. We have the gospel in the world. He says, Light has come into the world, but man loved darkness rather than light. That's the point. And so Jeremiah would tell us that there is madness in man's heart. You see, man would love to go to heaven, but they would refuse to repent and turn from their sins. Oh, they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to repent. I mean, they want to be saved from hell, but they don't want to be saved from their sins. And so man thinks they can live in their sins and be saved. No, sinners by nature do not care for a salvation, which means self-denial or giving up their sinful lifestyle. And so may the Holy Spirit be pleased to convince you of your sin. If you're outside Christ this morning, that God would show you your need of repentance and turning from your sins, embracing the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. May God be pleased to make you willing so you would be cleansed just like this leper was, totally, from this leprosy, that you would be cleansed from your sins. And then thirdly, the pattern of the leper. By pattern, I mean the manner, the example of this leper. Let us react like this leper did. Let us look how this leper came to Christ. And if you're outside Christ this morning, oh, I pray that you would come to Christ in the same manner this leper did. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew 8, verse 2, it says, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Wow. Amazing. He came with such a sincere desire. He came with such reverence as he came and he worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. He adored Christ. Let me read to you how Mark describes this leper coming to Christ. In Mark 1:40 it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him." Wow. The leper came and even knelt down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, what we read earlier in Luke 5:12, it says, "And it came to pass that when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord." Amazing. This leper came running to Christ. He fell on his knees. Then he fell on his face and he said, "Lord." I mean, what example, what pattern did the leper give us? The leper came, worshiped Christ, kneeling down, falling on his face. My. I mean, what a difference. And I've seen this in some churches where they call people down the aisle to say the little sinner's prayer. And people come down sometimes, they come giggling, chewing gum, joking. I mean, no reverence. You know, many years ago, I was standing, attending at T.O. Avenue Baptist Church. And I used to, me and another dear brother, we used to go downtown. I used to love to go downtown, preaching in the street corners. And I would be there 2-3 hours passing tracks all over. As a matter of fact, one Saturday morning at about 12 noon when they opened the bar, I asked the owner if he would let me preach 5 minutes. Unbelievable. He let me go in the bar. I got on top of the chair and I preached 5 minutes. I was so blessed to be able to preach 5 minutes to all the people that were drinking there. They were just looking at me and going, "What this guy doing here? Is it a comedian or what?" And amen. So I used to enjoy going downtown, and I used to love to go to the bus because they can't go anywhere. They got to wait for the bus. That's the best place to preach when you go downtown, at the bus stop, because they can't go anywhere. And you stand there in the corner and you just preach the word of God. Well, and I did that, you know. Well, I would go to church Sunday and I would hear this couple always say, "Oh, yesterday the Lord, 45 were saved, and then the next Sunday 52 were saved, and 20 were saved, and, you know, 60 were saved." And I go, "Man, what am I doing wrong?" I said, "What am I doing wrong?" I go and I can't get anybody saved. What is wrong with me, you know? And so I couldn't even get somebody to get a sinner's prayer.
Well, I decided,
well, I'm going to go with him so I can learn what to do. Of course, I didn't know what I know now. I'd been a Christian just a few short years, so and so I decided to go with this couple. And we went to the park, and the lady tells her husband, "Hey, honey, look, there's 10 kids over there. Let's run over there." So we go over there and say, "Oh, okay." And I'm standing there, and the lady just comes to the kids, and she says, "Hey, how you doing, kids? Hey, listen, y'all want to go to heaven, right? Right? You want to go to heaven? Hey, just pray this prayer with me. Come on, let's pray." And so she bows her head and she starts praying. And I did this number because I was just curious. And so I bowed my head and I'm like, you know, I'm looking, what's going on here? You know what? And so this lady is praying, you know, for these kids. I mean, dear Lord, I'm a sinner, come to the heart, save me. And I'm like, and these kids are laughing. They're like, they're going like this. I'm going, and she prays and she goes, "Amen." And then she goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 12. And she writes 12. "Look, there's four more over there." And I'm going, whoa, something not right about this evangelism. Something not right about this. I didn't know what I knew now, but I knew something was not right. And I didn't know, as I said, what I know now, but I knew that it wasn't right. I knew that was wrong, and I never went with them again, and it was amazing. But it's so sad that it's like a joke. No reverence. But this leper, he came and he knelt down and he bowed, said, "Lord," with such a sincere heart, taking it seriously what was going on, reverence for Christ. Oh my, what a glorious picture, or I should say, a pattern for us to learn and understand. Okay. And so I pray that God would show you the importance of having reverence for Christ. Again, he says, "And behold, there came a leper of worship, saying, Lord." Then quickly, fourthly, the prostration of this leper. And notice again the way the leper approached and addressed Christ. And again, in Luke 5:12, it says that this man that was full of leprosy, he fell on his face, saying, "Lord, if thou will, thou can cleanse me." I mean, this leper, as we already said, he prostrated himself, fell down on his face before Christ. He bowed down, acknowledging who he was. He addressed him as Lord. You might not think that's important or whatever, but we do live in a day and time where in most churches they don't preach what is known as Lordship Salvation. Lordship Salvation is thrown out of the pulpits. I mean, some priest that so Christ is some sort of doormat and they walk all over him so irreverently. I mean, they put Christ in some auction block, you know, to take him or reject him. Like he's a piece of merchandise to be offered to the highest bidder. Sometimes they make Christ to be some sort of beggar. They'll say things like that. You know, Christ wants to save you, but he can't unless you give him permission. Or you know what? Let's just follow the ABCs of salvation. Huh? A, all his sin. B, believe. C, confess. But what they forget, that sinners are D-E-F, death, spiritually. They lose sight of that. It's not just as easy as just saying all these things. No. The Holy Spirit has to convict the heart. And then you have the preachers that say, you know, you can have Jesus Christ as your Savior today. And then whenever you're ready to, you know, be sincere about Christianity and follow the word, then you can make him Lord one day of your life. No! Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't make him Lord. What some preachers forget, or do not understand, we don't make him Lord. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. I'll make it simple for you to understand. If he is not the Lord of your life, he's not your Savior. And if he is your Savior, he is your Lord. You cannot separate. You cannot divide Christ. He is Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, God already beat you to it. Because God made him Lord.
Acts 2.36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that's what reverence towards Christ, as the leper approached Christ in such a manner. Fifthly, let us now look again at the petition of this leper. In Matthew 8.2 again, it says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You see, nobody has to tell this leper, you know you're a leper, don't you? Maybe not so many preachers tell you know you're a sinner, right? You have a little sin, right? You know that.
No.
Nobody had to tell this leper you're a leper. He knew he was a leper. See, when God opens your heart, nobody has to tell you you're a sinner. You know it in your own heart because God has opened your eyes and shown you your heart. No one has to leave the leper in a leper's prayer. Dear Lord, I know I'm a leper. I'm an unleper. And I come. No! He knew he was a leper. He knew he was unclean. This is why he called out to Christ. And notice again his humble petition. I'll read it for the third time from Luke 5:12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face beside him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Again, we see this leper falling down before Christ, crying out for what? For help, for mercy, seeking Christ for that cleansing power. Now, when this leper said, I want you to understand, when this leper said, if thou wilt, this leper was not in any form, shape, or manner. He was not questioning the power of Christ. No, no, no. He knew Christ had the power. But the question is, Christ, will you use that power on me to cleanse me? Will you use your sovereign power to cleanse me? Would Christ bestow his power upon this poor leper and cleanse him? Again, what a difference from this modern day gospel, which gives man the power. You're the deciding factor. Your destiny is in your hand. No, the leper knew Christ, only Christ could heal him. All power, all sovereignty was in the power or was in the hands of Christ. And so, if you are beside Christ this morning, I pray that you would come to Christ in the same manner, believing, trusting, knowing that Christ can and will heal you from your sins, forgive you from your sins, and the grace of salvation. Cry out to God. Cry out to Christ like this leper did, that Christ might cleanse you from your sins and you find forgiveness of sin. And therefore, lastly and quickly, the power of the Lord. Look at the mighty power of Christ. He says with great authority, I will. I love that. I will. Matthew 8:3. And Jesus puts forth his hand and touched him. Oh, I love that. Touched him. Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And it's the same thing in salvation. When God saves a sinner, immediately your sins are forgiven. That's the hope. That's the power of the Lord. In Mark 1:41, I'll read it to you. It says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Whew. I mean, what grace, what mercy, what compassion, what love of Christ for this leper. Such compassion for this leper that nobody else wanted. Wow. Here you have a leper, separate by himself, loathsome, gruesome in man's eyes. Yet, he would find compassion, love, mercy from the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. And yes, Christ always moves with compassion upon every sinner that calls upon Him to be saved. So if you're outside Christ this morning, Christ will have compassion upon you if you would but come to Christ. And so yes, come to Christ right now and experience this cleansing power. Interesting to know that, again, the words move and compassion in this verse are also the same Greek word, which again just highlights and shows the extreme greatness of the mercy and love of God and compassion in saving a sinner. I mean, it basically, the word compassion means to have extreme mercy, to have pity, to feel sympathy for someone, to be moved with such compassion, to have your bowels move, your heart, your affection so stirred up, to yearn with such tender mercy. This is what Christ, I believe, felt for this leper. And this is what our Lord Christ feels every time He saves a sinner. In Psalm 86:15, it says, "But Thou, O Lord, art full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy." The leper knew that Christ was a Lord full of compassion. And if you're outside Christ this morning, please understand that God is full of compassion and He is long-suffering, and glory to God, plenteous in mercy. God will never run out of mercy, let me tell you. The Lord feels for all those that come to Him, for He says with great power and mercy. I love what He says there in John 6:37. Christ said, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." That's the whole point. But you've got to come to Christ. And He won't cast you out. I mean, what hope for all sinners to come to Christ alone, the only one that they can cleanse from sin. And so come to Christ, who with great compassion and love expresses it with a stirring of His heart in cleansing that leper. So the Lord was moved. And I think it speaks of the inward parts of the Savior, that He was greatly moved. And I can just see in my imagination, just see a Lord moving with such compassion, such love, when the leper came before Him and asked Him to be cleansed. And He said, "His mercy upon this poor leper." You see, when Christ heard the leper ask with such trust, with such belief, such confidence in Him, our Lord was moved with such a sacred passion and touched him. Woo! I love that. That's why I love that song. He touched him. Now, the reason I made such a big thing to the Lord touching, because this was unheard of. It was against the law to touch a leper. Huh? Yes, it was. It was against the law to touch a leper. So it was unheard of. I mean, it was such a fearful disease that made the leper unclean in the Mosaic law. So no one was allowed to touch a leprous person. Not only that, but when a leper was around a crowd, the law states that he had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so people would move, that they would know that he was a leper. All of Leviticus chapter 13 is about leprosy, but I'm going to read to you just three verses. Leviticus 13, 43 and 46, it says, "Then the priest shall look upon it, that the leprosy, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent." He has to tear them. "And head bare, and he put on a covering upon his upper lip." Maybe that was the first time they wear a mask. I don't know. "And a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean.' All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he shall be unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall be his habitation." My point is, people would stay away from a leprous person. But I want you to notice something very, very important, okay? The reading, you might miss it. But if you're still in Matthew, I want you to go back to Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, and I'm going to read from Matthew 4:23 to Matthew 5. Okay? Notice what it says in Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those who were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Speaking of Christ, and Christ, seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and what he said, his disciples came unto him, and that's when he preached the Sermon of the Mount. My point to you is there was a great multitude that followed him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 again says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So the Lord is walking. I mean, there's a big, great crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have a feeling, could it be, and this is again just my imagination, the Bible's the same thing, but I have a feeling when the people saw this leper, that all of a sudden there was a big gap, like, that perhaps people separated, they said, oh, here's this leper. Okay? Because there was a big multitude following him. My point is, while everyone else forsook him, while everyone else moved away from the leper, our Lord Jesus Christ stood there and again even touched that leper. Wow. He touched the leper. I want to explain the word touch, because the word touch doesn't mean tap, you know, like, oh, and Christ went, okay. No, that word touch means he grabbed him. He laid hold of him. Not just, okay. No. It makes a big difference when you understand that. Because the word means that he fastened him. Christ laid hold of the leper. The thing is, Christ was not made unclean because he touched him. No, the leper was made clean because Christ touched him. You get that? Because the law states that if you touch a leper, you became unclean. But Christ is power. And that power of Christ made that unclean leper clean. Unbelievable. The opposite happened. He who was unclean, the leper was made cleansed. And then the Lord told him, you go to the priest and you show yourself in the synagogue. Let them know that they will pronounce you clean so you can come back and worship at the synagogue. That was the whole point. Again, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In Mark 1, 41 and 42, it says, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. It was cleansed. I love that they all, even Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all use the word immediately. Okay? Showing the power of Christ that it happened instantly. Luke 5:13, and he put it forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. In all three texts, I said, immediately the leper was cleansed. And you know what? It is the same thing with our sin. When Christ saves a sinner, immediately our sins are forgiven. Our sins are cleansed. Our sins are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, again, if you're outside Christ this morning, you're yet in your sins and you stand before God spiritually unclean. But I can assure you that Christ will have compassion and mercy upon you, that you can now stand before God in Christ in the grace of salvation. That you would come to Him this morning and Christ will make you clean. How? Immediately. Save you immediately. Forgive you from all your sins. Not just one or two, but all your sins. You know, you have two types of sinners. You have the sinner that always makes excuses. Well, you don't know where I grew up. You know my neighborhood of people, or at the school he goes to, or my parents, or this, and they always blame everybody for their sin, for their faults and everything. It's not me, I'm not that bad, you know, that guy over there. So you have that type of, then you have the other extreme of a sinner who I've met, even that they feel that they are so wicked, that they've done so many wicked things, he says, there's no way God will forgive me. I know God will forgive me. You don't know what I've done. God will forgive me. I said, oh no. Right. You don't know God. Yes. You don't know God. Because the Word of God says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That's the whole point. Grace always conquers any sin. So I don't care what a person has committed. God will forgive you of all your sins. That's the hope. That's the cleansing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood will forgive every single sin. That's the blessing Christ will cleanse you. He will forgive you. You know that God right now is ready to forgive you, but are you ready to be forgiven? Come to Christ. He will have compassion upon you like He did upon this leper. Oh, my dear ones, if you die in your sin, you have no excuse before God. You'll be no excuse if God's justice is brought upon you. You have nobody to blame but yourself. Because today, there's mercy. Let me tell you, there's no mercy after death. There's no mercy in hell. But right now, God is great in compassion and extend His mercy powerfully. I love what it says in Micah 7. He said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of heritage? He retained not his anger forever because he delighted in mercy. Woo! Praise God. Our God delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Woo! Glory to God. Did you hear that? He will have compassion. That's the God of the Bible, my dear ones. Again, Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so it makes no matter to God how great the sin is, because He has power, great power. And you know what's the best thing about it all that I love so much, and it just blesses my heart, is in the words of the new covenant, that God will not only forgive us our sins, man, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Woo! Glory to God. That gets me excited. I mean, I feel like I want to dance around and just jump up and down. You know, it's like a sports game to hear the last shot. That's how excited. That's what I mean. I'm excited to have my sins forgiven and forgotten. That's the God I'm talking about this morning. That's the God that I'm talking about. That's the essence of salvation. Our sins forgiven. Our sins forgotten totally. No matter what we have done. This is the hope we have in Christ. Nothing can be more blessed than to hear God say to your soul, thy sins be forgiven, thy sins be forgotten. Oh, the blessings of salvation. What a blessing. This is why both David and the Apostle Paul said, blessed are all they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed. It is a blessed joy to have your sins not only forgiven, but forgotten. And therefore, again, if you're outside Christ, I implore you, I compel you, come to Christ now. Come in repentance toward God and in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. I'm running out of breath.
I can come now. Okay, there we go. Oh, I didn't wear my basketball sneakers today, so. But anyway, you know, I know that in a couple weeks, everybody's going to be celebrating Christmas, observing the birth of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know the real reason why he was born? Turn with me to the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 1. I won't say much in this because I already preached in this last year sometime. But notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was under wise. When his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now drop down to verse 21. Speaking of the Virgin Mary, he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. Now this was done that it might be spoken, fulfilled, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, he shall bring forth a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God be with us." But the whole point is that you will call his name Jesus. Why? He will save his people from their sins. That's why Christ came into this world. That's why he was born. That he might save people from their sins. That is our hope, my dear ones. And therefore, there's no excuse for not coming to Christ. Come now. And I think this carefully. I don't say this. I hope I don't offend anybody. But I think one of the saddest things is that a person will spend their whole life celebrating Christmas and die in their sins and wind up in hell. Imagine that. Listen to the words of Ezekiel. I love this. Ezekiel 18. He says, "Therefore, I will judge you, everyone according to his way, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourself from your transgression, so iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away all your transgressions where you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God said, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn and live." My point is, God does not take any pleasure in a person that dies in their sin. But I love what we just read in Micah, that God delights in mercy. Yes. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked, but he delights in mercy. And therefore, Isaiah would tell us in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So again, come just like the leper did. Come believing, come trusting in Christ, and that you would hear in your heart, "Be thou clean. Be thou clean." Or that you would hear what Christ told the man sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." I love that phrase. And therefore, that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of the leper. For it shows us not only the awful wickedness of our sins and our condition before thee, but more glorious, it shows us the blessed compassion and mercy of a great God. It shows your power to save, Lord, to deliver us from our sins, to forgive us. And so I thank you again for this story, to give all sinners hope. Lord, may you add the preaching of your word this morning, and that you would bless and save in our midst. For thus, we have all this in your most blessed and holy name. Amen. Amen.